Welcome to First Steps to Al-Anon Recovery from Al-Anon Family Groups. This podcast will discuss a professional's concern for families who have been affected by a loved one's drinking. Colleen Hillock is coordinator and faculty member in the Bachelor of Health Science and Addiction Counseling Program at Medicine Hat College in Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada. She's agreed to talk with us today about family secrets in families that have been affected by a loved one's drinking. Colleen, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Pat, and thanks for this topic. It's such a great topic to talk about, given the effects of alcoholism and the implication it has on the family members. You know, when you think about family secrets, they are, in a sense, the foundation of the disease that lives inside the home. The alcoholic home and the people who live within that home are supported by a foundation of lies. And some people in the home are more conscious of those lies than others. But, you know, there is an expression in Al-Anon that I really support, and that is, we are as sick as our secrets. And the family lives largely unconscious of those secrets as the disease progresses. And of course, part of the healing process of living with those secrets is dispelling those secrets and giving voice to those secrets one day at a time.
Well, I really appreciate your willingness to address this topic, because I will admit I have a personal connection, of course, and that's one of the reasons why I only use my first name, because I am a member of Al-Anon and have had this kind of history in my background. When I was 19 years old and first started publishing some of my stories in local newspapers and magazines, I remember getting a lot of acknowledgement from friends and pats on the back and encouragement from everyone except my father. And strangely enough, he was the one who flew into a rage, acted like he was crazy, and as a matter of fact asked me to leave his house. And I could never figure out exactly what was going on until I joined Al-Anon, and it dawned on me that my father was afraid that I was going to go public in print in local publications and start telling all of our family secrets.
Oh, wow. And thanks for that. I really hear that kind of story again and again, when people start to come out and say how it is and say what their experience is. The alcoholic comes out swinging, and it baffles many members, because they think, well, you know, it's the truth, and you know, how relieved I feel to be able to tell the truth. And often, you know, prematurely, without doing your step work, without checking in with a sponsor, and without putting it out to meetings, they you know, come home and announce or these discoveries and you know, expect to be greeted with open arms. And in fact, the opposite happens. And one of the, I don't know, I guess, realities of coming out, if you will, around the family secret is that the alcoholic does come out swinging, and as do the people who enable the alcoholism. So in a functional family, in a healthy family, in a healing system, speaking the truth would be applauded and embraced. Yet in an alcoholic home, the truth is the threat, and the lie is the sacred cow that everybody contracts, consciously or unconsciously, to worship. So it makes sense to me that you were surprised that the community applauded you, and the alcoholic who was active in your home was threatened to the point of, you know, expelling a child from the family home.
Well, and I don't mean to complicate this scenario at all, but my father was not the alcoholic. But he was deathly afraid that I was going to tell all the secrets that would make our family look different to the public than the way we presented ourselves. And, of course, my father at the time was correct. I was eventually going to tell those family secrets, and in print and in public, but Dad had no idea of the concept of anonymity or confidentiality. He had no idea that it was important for me to tell my stories, but it was not important for me to tell people what our family name was or to embarrass him or any member of our family because of what was going on.
Thanks for that correction. And yes, he doesn't understand, of course, the principles of the program. And it is true that in some ways the qualifying Al-Anon member sometimes is even more protective of the lie.
Yeah, I found that out. You know, I expected open arms, and, you know, I was surprised to see basically clenched fists. I mean, he was furious. He just, he was so afraid that everyone was going to know what was really happening in our home.
And, you know, it's an interesting concept, I think, for people who don't understand this disease, because, you know, we all can see how the practicing addict might be threatened by the truth, but I think people are more baffled by why the Al-Anon member or the potential Al-Anon member would be more threatened. And I've thought about that a lot, and I think the person who doesn't use has more to reconcile inside of themselves. You know, it's like why am I protecting somebody who's obviously doing harm to themselves and to my loved ones and to me? How do I sleep at night with that lie that I'm protecting, yet the lie that I hate so much? It's hard to describe that and explain that to people who don't understand the complicated twists and turns of the disease inside of the enablers. One of the things I see in my students is that many of them come to the program wanting to get their hands into the active addict, and they want to recreate an intervention TV episode. They're thirsty, if you will, for the active substance abuser. And I'm quick to tell them that in my experience, coming through, you know, an average clinical door, there's probably 3 to 4 family members for every one active addict that comes through the doors of a clinic. And they hadn't quite figured that out as portrayed in something like intervention. You can see there's usually, you know, 6 to 9 members sitting on couches, and the active user, whether that's crack, cocaine, or alcohol, comes in and is surprised and often, you know, not forewarned that that's what they're walking into. It's the people that are supporting the takers. It's the people who are supporting the person who uses who often run out of steam first and ask for help. Mm-hmm. So explaining to them the confusion and the distortion and the disease of perception that lives in the codependent is a longer process for young clinicians than actually just explaining to them what goes on in the mind of a meth user.
Mm-hmm. So what can you say to family members who might be listening to our podcast here that might be at that point, you know, where they feel like they've just had just about all they can take, and they would really like to have some improvement made, but if not, at least some kind of major change in their family?
I would say you know what happens in your home. You know what is going on in your heart. You know what you see. You know what you hear. You know what you feel. And to embrace what you know is a tremendous act of courage. And to reach out to somebody who understands. And I think when people are coming out of the veil of secrets in an alcoholic home, they are convinced that no one's going to understand. No one's going to believe them. No one's going to think it's that bad, because many active alcoholics are smooth cons on the outside. And the person who wants to come out from within the home often gives away their power and thinks they won't be understood, and that the alcoholic actually is the one who has the credibility in the community. And in fact, many people in the community might respond that way unless you go to somebody who really understands, like an addictions counselor, like the rooms of Al-Anon or Alateen. These people understand. So to take the courage to come out to somebody who's safe and will believe you is what I would advise.
Well, thanks, Colleen, for talking with us about family secrets in a family affected by a loved one's drinking. And thank you, everyone, for listening to First Steps to Al-Anon Recovery. You're welcome to listen to any of the Al-Anon Family Group podcasts at www.alanonfamilygroups.org by clicking on podcast. You're also welcome to attend a face-to-face meeting of Al-Anon Family Groups in your own community by clicking on how to locate a meeting, or by calling during business hours Eastern Time 1-888-4-Al-Anon. Thank you for listening to First Steps to Al-Anon Recovery from Al-Anon Family Groups.